welcome to live radio. Yes, we're live today. If you listened last week, that was a recorded show because my arm was in a cast. From Wednesday of last week till Wednesday of this week, it was in a cast. No, not a cast you get at the doctor's office, but throwing a bait cast or a spinning rod, fly rod. Normally by this time of the year, I've been fishing, I don't know, 15, 20 times. This year has been something of a grind. And I think I got in a few hours on Lake Murray one night with Ellie Jones. And then we did an overnight to the Chattooga River back in May. And somewhere back in March or something, a good buddy of mine, Kevin Davis, we've been friends for 32 years, since our junior year in high school. He says he's been after me for a few years to go to Canada with him fishing, and I just never had the time or the money available. And this year we decided to go and had a ball. It was catching. It was not fishing. You didn't have to be much of a fisherman. And that's exactly what we needed. We needed some really dumb fish. And we got them. Most of the times it was, you go out in the morning, catch 20 or 30, go in, take a nap, eat a little breakfast, go back out, catch another 20 or 30. Come back in, eat a little lunch, take a nap, go back out, catch number 20 or 30. Come back in, eat a little more, and you can go fish the sunset if you want. Because the neat thing, and we were 400 miles north of Montreal, Quebec, you had 19 hours of sunlight. So, hey, at 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning, you could be fishing, and you could fish all the way till 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. It was absolutely incredible. Got some new, have to say hello to some new friends in Montreal, Guy and Jacques. They were great hosts. They have a cabin on Lac Hazel near Chibougamau, Canada. Yeah, tell me about it. The first time I heard that, I was like, yeah, somebody is pulling my leg. But they were not. It was on a road sign, and I have a picture of it, Chibougamau. It was incredible. Barren landscape, not much wildlife, blueberries like you would not believe it. And in September, October, it must be incredible, the blueberries that are up there. It was just a carpet of blueberry bushes. Incredible fishing. Guy and Jacques were just great, great hosts. Jim Bergen was the guy who knows Kevin. They're actually in France right now. His son's getting married, so he got back and hopped on a plane, went to France. 9-hour travel, 6 days of fishing. It was great. And wouldn't you know it, while I was gone, the air conditioner went out. My oldest daughter hit her head. What else happened to Taylor? And today was catch-up day with Taylor. We just have been hanging out together all day. So what else happened while I was gone that was bad? Yeah, and twisted your leg again.
Yeah.
And it's funny, when I leave, and I know these things are going to happen when you're out of town, I leave and I say, okay, the rules of the road are nobody gets hurt, nobody gets sick, nothing happens until I get back. And it seems like, I mean, day one I was gone, there was an emergency, you know? Took a sat phone, that was pretty cool. If you need a sat phone for a trip, Road Post is the great place to go. They mailed it to me. Everything worked perfectly. Got it up there. It worked perfect in camp. I actually called my dad on Father's Day. So, you know, I was a good son. Came back. Had a pre-printed mailing label. Shipped it back to him yesterday. That was pretty cool. Was it pretty good when I talked to you on the phone? Could you hear me okay?
It was, yeah. It sounded like a regular phone.
Yeah, it was a satellite phone. It's pretty cool. Anyway, you are listening to Woods and Water, South Carolina on 94.5 WGTK. You can listen on your FM dial. You can download the Conservative Talk 94.5 app for your phone or tablet. You can go to TuneIn Radio. You can find this show on Facebook, hashtag Woods and Water SC Radio on Instagram. And the website is woodsandwatersc.com. And that's where I put up the podcast every week and some pictures when I have time. I haven't had much time to do that lately. And I was hoping my oldest daughter could help me get some of that done while I was gone, but she hit her head, mild concussion, and, you know, just what happens when I leave home. It just poof, everything goes the way of anything. But it was a great time. Kevin and I, like I said, Kevin, if you're listening, I had a great time. He came back to his mom falling and breaking her hip. She had surgery yesterday, so it wasn't just me. The weather, 40s in the morning. I mean, I was actually had, you know, three layers of clothes on, 60s in the afternoons. Weather changed a lot. I mean, it might be clear in the morning, raining by lunchtime, or clear at lunchtime, raining by evening. But we fished. I actually read a book. I took a book and read the whole thing. Of course, it read it in 3 hours. How many pages? 238 pages? 236 pages. It was Meat Eater by Steve Rinella. Met Steve at the National Deer Alliance Quality Deer Management Association convention in Louisville, Kentucky. Had talked to him for probably half an hour. Got his book. It's pretty good. It's Adventures from the Life of an American Hunter. Really neat. And the funny thing about having talked to him and now reading his book, when I was reading his book, it was like I was listening to him talk. He's got that Western Michigan accent to his voice. It was really, really neat. But it's good to be home. When you're sitting there in the cabin and you have French Canadians talking amongst themselves and laughing and carrying on, you always have to keep one ear tuned in, because at any moment they're liable to break into broken English asking you a question or telling you something funny they're talking about. But the whole time you're wondering, what are they saying about me? And normally you could tell when they were talking about you because they glance at you. But they were really nice. It was good. Luckily, Jim interpreted everything for us. And it was fun. Taylor, you would have not enjoyed it. There were bugs. You would have been one mass of bug bites. I was almost a mass of bug bites. You had deer flies. When they bit you, you actually bled. I mean, it was like a little trickle of blood running down your neck or something. The black flies were just everywhere. They got a hold of Kevin the first day, and he dealt with black fly blights the rest of the week. And the mosquitoes, when I looked at the weather forecast to go up there, you know, the wind was blowing 15, 20 miles an hour. I was like, oh, that's going to be horrible fishing. How do you jig fish for walleye, because they normally live near the bottom? How do you jig fish for walleye when it's blowing 15, 20 miles an hour? Let me tell you what, when the wind was not blowing 15 or 20 miles an hour, you were wishing it was, because there was this hum and buzz all around you. We were fishing one evening, and it was really clear, calm, and we'd gone out pike fishing, and you could catch pike just one cast after another, almost like the walleye. And I had a pike blow up on a topwater fly. I was throwing a big 11-weight rod looking for a big pike, and had one blow up, and he cut the line a foot in front of the fly. In fact, he cut it in front of the shock leader. And I went to try to tie it back, and there were so many mosquitoes between me and my hands, I could not see to get my line tied back together, so we quit and went in. Great time.
The answer to that is long sleeves, long pants, and if you have to, double a layer.
Oh, I was triple layering at times. Buffs came in really handy. Long sleeve shirts were really good. DEET, nah. That was like attractant or something. Because I had some 95% DEET. It didn't work on me. They like me anyways. It's all the sweet tea I drink. But it was a really good time. And I say that not to brag. And it was fun. But if you get a chance to go on something like that. Like Kevin's been asking me to go to that for probably 10 years now. And I was just, oh, no, I don't want to go fishing somewhere for a week. And if somebody asks you to go, you ought to go. The time's going to pass. That's the thing. You know, we could have had two or three of these trips before this. So when you get a chance, go. Don't be afraid to broaden your horizons. Montreal, above Montreal, is just farmland. It was absolutely gorgeous. Big farms, row crops, much what you think about like in Indiana. Midwest. We got up around where the pavement ends and the dirt road begins. Now, when you think dirt road, these are graded gravel roads, dusty as all get out, but they were one-lane bridges across creeks, beautiful creeks. We wanted to stop and trout fish in the creeks. We didn't. That's trip next time we go up, we'll do that. They had a big fire that went through and burned everything about 7 or 8 years ago, so there's a lot around where we were, a lot of dead tree stick-ups, some patches. The really cool thing, the Canadian government is paying people $1,000 Canadian a day to go up there and replant the forest. They've been doing it for 5 years now. So we were out bear hunting a couple of times, walking across the tundra, and there they were, you know, just like rows of dibbled in fir trees. I'd love to know how many pairs of boots you go through, what you look like after a week out there with all the mosquitoes, and how many bears you have to run from. And moose. Now you know why moose are so mean. Going to deal with that. So anyway, that's it. We'll get to the calendar events when we come back, so hang on, and we'll get back to more Woods and Water, South Carolina. fit. No hurry.
You know my old car.
Car needs washing. And front. Don't even talk about my grass. And where was I? Yeah. That's when Responsible Roger comes out and starts beating you over the head. Great song. I love Zac Brown Band. You do too, don't you?
I love it.
You love Zac Brown. All right. Getting back to what we normally do here on Woods and Water, just a segment later, we've got a calendar of events. This calendar is all about the 4th of July. Next Saturday's the 4th of July. I will not be here. Most of you will probably not be here either. If you're here, lots of stuff to do. Lots of fireworks. So this is really just a list of places you can go to watch fireworks and things going on next, I guess, actually starting Friday. And one of them is from Visit Pickens County, South Carolina. It's Clemson Fest, July the 3rd. This year's Clemson Fest will be held on July 3rd, 2015 at Y Beach, with gates opening at 5 p.m. and the event ending at 10 p.m. Admission will be $5 per person on foot, $10 a car. Pack in 10 of your closest friends and get in for $10, dollar piece. The headlining entertainment will be the Carolina Coast Band. Other features include food and craft vendors, the fireworks display, and a kids' play area. Please, no pets, swimming, or personal coolers during the event. That's Clemson Fest. You can go to visit PickensCounty.com for more of that. The town of Monk's Corner, South Carolina, their 4th of July festivities will be Friday, July 3rd at the Regional Recreation Complex, 418 East Main Street. Parade begins at 6, street dance from 7 to 10, and fireworks immediately following. That's the town of Monk's Corner, sc.gov. You can go there. South Carolina Festival of Stars, an Independence Day celebration. Welcome to the home of the South Carolina Festival of Stars, held each year in 96 South Carolina. The festival is a two-day event at Friday, July 3rd and Saturday, July 4th. Kicks off Friday night with our concert in the park featuring a Greenwood favorite, the Brown Sugar Substitute Band. The lineup for Saturday's band includes the Night Affair Band and Bless Your Heart Band. That's an interesting one. Saturday morning starts off by hosting the town's Main Street Parade, then down the park for delicious food, amusement rides, classic and custom automobiles, food vendors, craft vendors, contests, events, and live music entertainment throughout the day. Up until the right time, fireworks show, a day filled with events and entertainment. That's in 96 South Carolina. The event is free to attend, which is pretty cool. Please, no, never mind. That was from a note for the vendors. Uncle Sam Jam, Charleston County Parks and Recreation. Now, a lot of you are going to be on vacation over the 4th, along the coast and on. I've got something to say about the whole coast in a few minutes. But in Charleston, the Uncle Sam Jam, July the 4th, enjoy the cool harbor breeze. You dance to live beach music at the perfect venue for celebrating our independence, the Mount Pleasant Pier. At the foot of the Arthur Ravenel Jr. Bridge, stretching 1,250 feet out into the Charleston Harbor, scenic Mount Pleasant Pier will also be a great spot to watch the area's best fireworks displays. Event details, beverages available for purchase on site, treats and snacks available at the Riverwatch Cafe. Gates open at 7, music starts at 8. Outside alcohol and coolers are prohibited. Admission is $10. If you're a resident, $8. $10 non-resident, $8 if you're a resident. You can buy it online. Online registration ends at midnight on the day before the event. On the day of the event, admission can be purchased by calling 843-795-4386 by 2 p.m. or at the event gate available. Only 800 spaces are available. So this might be something you need to jump on pretty quick if you're going to be in Charleston. And that's at, I guess you Google Uncle Sam Jam. It's Charleston County Parks and Recreation. And if you're going to be down there for that, you might as well just cross. Well, actually, you can go under the bridge now through the park and come out the backside and be at Patriots Point, because you can go probably the best view anywhere is at Patriots Point, where the fireworks blast off aboard the historic USS Yorktown's flight deck. You can buy tickets. Those tickets are on sale this year. Two different flight deck ticket options are available. For $100, visitors can purchase the VIP ticket. Ticket includes complimentary drinks, a barbecue meal by Top Shelf Catering, and access to a special area at the ship's bow where chairs and tables will be available. The second ticket package is priced at $35. Include access to the flight deck starting at 6 p.m. where food will be available. Two live bands will provide entertainment. Guests are encouraged to bring folding chairs. Patriots Point is the place to be on July the 4th. That's probably true. So anyway, that's a big one. You can go to patriotspoint.org. and find out more about that. Lake Murray Country, Capital City Lake Murray Country's website. The Lake Murray fireworks display is another big one in this state, and I've seen this one a couple of times. We were down there a couple of years ago.
Probably.
You remember seeing the fireworks?
I think so.
Yeah, you think so. You were too busy swimming. Lake Murray Fireworks Celebration 2015. The date is July the 4th. Time is 9 to 10:30. Let's see here now. They usually, here we go. Beginning at dusk, approximately 9:15, South Carolina's largest fireworks display on beautiful Lake Murray. They shoot from two locations on Lake Murray. They shoot from Spence Island on the Lexington side and Dreer Island on the Chapin side. The show is choreographed to a patriotic concert that will air simultaneously on B106.7. The best place to do the fireworks are Dreer Island State Park and both parks at the Lake Murray Dam. Bring a chair, picnic blankets. Picnics are welcome. No alcohol permitted at any of these locations. Basic park admission applies, which is $2 for adults at Dreer Island. Children under 15 are free. Gates close at 8 o'clock, so if you're going to go to Dreer Island, you need to be there before 8. $3 per car at the Lake Murray Dam sites. The walking path on the dam will also be opened. And that's pretty, like I said, we've seen that several times. Dreer Island State Park is in Prosperity, South Carolina. The North Recreation Site for South Carolina Electric and Gas is on the Columbia, I guess it'd be the Chapin end of the dam. And then there's another, the South Recreation part is on the Lexington side of the dam. So another really cool place to go to see fireworks. Lexington County Peach Festival actually has a fireworks display. It's the 57th year the town of Gilbert will host the Lexington County Peach Festival. Started way back when. There's only a few peach farm operations still going, but we produce a lot of peaches in South Carolina. This year, it's Saturday the 4th. They kick off every year with a parade at 9:30 and stretch in the night until 10 p.m. when we bring the day to a close with a dazzling display of fireworks. Hundreds of arts and crafts exhibits, antique car show, Revolutionary War reenactment, tractor show, children's rides, and food items specializing in peachy delights. I can only imagine there's going to be some peach milkshakes down there. And that's in Gilbert, South Carolina. You can go to LexingtonCountyPeachFestival.com for more information. Wells Fargo Red, White, and Blue. That's right here in Greenville, South Carolina. It's the premier 4th of July celebration sponsored by Bon Secours St. Francis Health Center. This event, it's free, 5 to 10, Saturday, July 4th. Two stages filled with music, the Zaxby's Kids Zone, food and beverage vendors. It's downtown Greenville from Court to Camperdown Streets and on Compass Broad Street from Lawrence to Falls Street and Falls Park. Bands. Angela Easterling and the Beguilers, Kenny George Band, the 246 Army Band, and then starting at 9:45, the fireworks synchronized to patriotic music on 92.5. So, and that's always a fun one to go to, too. We usually try to find somewhere if we're up here to go see it from afar. We don't particularly like to get down in the crowds. A couple others. If you don't like fireworks, you can go to Hillbilly Day. That's in Mountain Rest, South Carolina. You won't find any fireworks, but at one of the oldest festivals in the state, you'll find clogging, square dancing, country and bluegrass music, craft food, soap making, old-time games, free admission and parking. That's in Mountain Rest, South Carolina. And the Calpins National Battlefield will hold its Celebration of Freedom event on July the 4th with guided battlefield walks, weapons firing demonstrations, and children's activities. You can go to Calpins National Battlefield website for more information on that. What I was going to get to that's going to be most of next week's show is Salute from the Shore. If you've never heard of Salute from the Shore, it is a 501c3 organization here in South Carolina. They're based in Columbia. I've been talking to those guys. And essentially what Salute from the Shore is everybody on the beach on July the 4th, starting at 1 o'clock, you need to be out there with your flags, whatever red, white, and blue you've got, signs, because what happens is starting at 1 o'clock up near Cherry Grove is you have a flight down the coast of South Carolina from Cherry Grove all the way down towards Beaufort. And this year in past years has been headlined by a flight of F-16s out of Shaw Air Force Base, the 20th Fighter Wing. They did not do that last year, but this year they're coming back. They're going to have a flight coming. And next week we'll not only talk to the guys from Salute from the Shore, we will also be talking to one of the pilots who's going to fly the fight. I'm waiting on the U.S. Air Force to give me exact time. We've only been working on this for 2 months, but hey, it'll all come together. Salute from the Shore, you can go to their website. It's salutefromtheshore.org. You can contribute. You know, it's a 501c3. It's tax deductible. They need all the help they can get. The F-16s are the headliners. They started out at 1 o'clock. It usually takes them about, I think it's about 30 minutes to fly. And they're not going too fast. Let's see if I can get it. 1 p.m., 1:45 Hilton Head. So 1 p.m. at Cherry Grove. They'll circle Patriots Point in Charleston before continuing to run south to Hilton Head, approximately 1:45. After they come through, there will be a procession of vintage military aircraft, usually a C-47, some AT-6s, an old Beechcraft. Is what is it? If you go to, they have a really nice video. They came out like a video, like a movie preview this year, which was really neat. And it's got the flight schedule, salute your hero, and how to salute. And it's got some veterans talking about, what it means to them. Because there's some of those guys are riding up in the airplanes down the coast looking at the salute from the shore. It's go big. Get a huge flag or get creative, but get to the beach. Get your salute on camera and share with the world. Photos of the aircraft are great. Photos of people saluting aircraft are better. Make it personal. Whether you love someone serving overseas or remember a fallen hero, share your tribute. Tell us what you think. Send your salute to salute@salutefromtheshore.org. Post your salute to YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And tag your images with salute, #salutefromtheshore. It's a really good one. So next week, the flight will actually be 1 o'clock. The show doesn't come on until 3, but you'll get to hear from those guys. Well, and I talked to the one of the founders yesterday. Really good guy. Just remembering, no matter how bad or what your opinion on the news this week, we don't quit. In our country's history, we just don't quit. And Salute from the Shore is that. We don't quit. We remember where we came from. We remember the sacrifices of the people that got us to where we are. And so this 4th of July, break out your red, white, and blue. Get out there, have fun, watch fireworks. Where are we going? Are we going to drive to the beach to watch the jets fly down the coast?
Don't know.
You don't know?
It's a hard decision.
You going to buy the gas?
No.
And that's how it works with kids. That's okay. Your day is coming.
Oh, no.
Yes. You have to get your own job. Put your own gas in the car. Yes.
Great.
Okay. When we come back, we're going to talk to Brian Ginn from the Department of Natural Resources about some boating safety over the 4th of July week. Finish up with some fun stuff. So hang on. Come back. Next thing. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. It's summertime, and just like Huey says, need a couple days off. We're going to get it this coming week. 4th of July is here. And with that holiday coming up, I said, we need to get a little refresher on some boating safety, some issues with being out on the lake this weekend. And I got a hold of Jeff Ginn with the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources, and he agreed to come on and talk to us a little bit. Jeff, appreciate you taking time out of the afternoon. How are you today?
Yes, sir. Roger, doing good. How are you?
I'm doing fairly well. We were talking earlier, been in Canada and came back to this heat, and it was like, wow.
Yeah, it's been really hot this week.
Hello. First of all, tell us who you are and what you do for DNR.
I'm a Lance Corporal with South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. I work Lake Hartwell during the summer, checking boats and safety equipment on boats and checking fishermen. During the winter months, we work public and private land, checking people during the hunting seasons. Whatever's in season, that's what we're out checking.
That's where you're at.
Yes, sir.
What kind of reception do you get? Just kind of off the fly, what kind of reception do you get from people when you pull up beside them on a boat on Lake Harwell?
Most people are out there just enjoying themselves, having a good time, water skiing, boating. Most people are just out there having fun, having a good time, and real appreciative of what we're doing, make sure everybody's safe out there in the water.
That's good. One of the worst things I hate to hear is Mr. Green Jeans.
Yeah.
Mr. Green Jeans, yeah, he's gonna catch you and tell you you're doing something wrong, but mostly he's out there just to make sure you're doing okay, you know?
That's right. Yeah, they have all kind of names for us, possum police and rabbit sheriff.
Well, around here, you're an officer with the Department of Natural Resources. How's that?
That's right. Yes.
Well, I met you back in May. We had a media safety event down at Green Pond Landing, and we talked a little bit. One of the interesting things you were telling me was that gas prices are low, and you were already seeing more boaters out on the water. Is that holding true for the summertime so far?
Yeah, I mean, even with the hot weather, we're seeing a lot of boats, especially in the evenings, getting out. And normally around dark, the lake starts clearing off. You'll have a few nighttime fishermen fishing under their bridges, but the boat traffic's pretty normal for this time of year. There's a lot of traffic, especially on the weekends.
Okay. And we get into this. We got the 4th of July coming up. A lot of people are going to be hitting the water. And y'all are going to be hitting the water pretty hard, too, I assume, correct?
Yes, sir. We'll be out there. Make sure everybody's safe and checking safety equipment. Make sure everybody has their life jackets and all their safety equipment on board.
I saw on the Department of Natural Resources website there's some free boating safety checkpoints. Are you going to be having one down on Lake Hartwell this coming weekend?
Yes, sir. I believe we're having one July 3rd at River Forks, and then again on July 5th at River Forks.
Okay.
I believe those are at different times. You'll just have to check the website for times. I believe it's from like 12 to 2 on Sunday and 10 to 2 or 10 to 12 Friday. But just check our website for those times.
Okay. And that's like a get-out-of-jail-free card. You kind of check every – tell us what happens during those little checkpoints.
It's just to make sure you have all your safety equipment before you get out there. We check your registration, go through all your safety equipment. If we find anything that's wrong, we mark it down. We give you a sheet. We let you know what you need to get fixed before you get out on the water. If you don't have enough life jackets, we, you know, of course, encourage you to go get some, or you could get pulled over and get a ticket. But
okay.
That's what we look for. Our number one concern is having enough life jackets on board and making sure those life jackets fit each passenger the way they should.
Well, especially not so much during the winter months, I assume, or fall and spring, but during summer, weather is it's a constant change. The heating of the day, especially over water, I've been caught out in some pretty bad thunderstorms because of my own stupidity. How important is it, especially with modern technology, for people to be aware of the weather before they go out and while they're out on the water?
Yeah, it's good, especially now every day. Most people have smartphones, so it's easy to just pull up the weather radar or the forecast and get an idea of what the weather's going to be like for the day. And even while you're out on the lake, you can pull up those apps and you can pull up the radar and see if the storm's coming in and give you plenty of time to get off the lake before you get caught in it. And if you do get caught in a storm, we recommend you just go into the closest shoreline and make sure everybody has life jackets on and check your bilges for water and just try to stay safe. But the best plan is just to get off the lake before that storm hits.
That's a good one, which means those ramps are being crowded. So when you go to those ramps, make sure you can get in and out timely, right?
Yes, sir.
Boating safety courses, you offer them, Boat US offer them, Towboat offer them. Those should be like number one item for somebody who buys a boat.
Yeah, it is. Unfortunately, not everybody's required to have them. Only boaters under 16 who are powering a motorboat with less than 15 horsepower have to have that course, but we recommend everybody taking one simply because it tells you all about the rules and regulations on the lake. It's good. They go through all your safety equipment. They tell you about simple rules like having your lights on at sunset and different regulations as far as like negligent operation, where passengers can and cannot ride on a boat. So it's just an overall good course to keep you and your passengers safe while you're out there on the lake.
We hit on life jackets a little bit, especially about the sizing, making sure those are right for the person that's in them. Kids don't – the adult-sized life jackets don't fit kids too well. But, you know, what a lot of people don't think about is when you go to the lake, being able to swim. You kind of just take it for granted. People that can't swim, you recommend them wearing a life jacket all the time they're out on a boat?
Yeah, absolutely. If you can't swim, make sure you have a life jacket on, because that's going to be the only thing to keep you afloat and forbid, you know, there's some kind of accident or something and you're not unconscious. That life jacket is the only thing that's going to keep you afloat, and a proper life jacket should turn you over to where you're facing up. So life jackets, number one safety device out there on the water.
Life jackets save you if you have an accident. Alcohol will get you in an accident. How big a part does alcohol play over the summer in enforcement on our South Carolina lakes?
It plays a big part because it not only impairs your ability to operate a boat, it also impairs your thinking. If you're under the influence of alcohol, you allow people to do stuff on your boat that maybe you wouldn't do if you were sober. You may allow somebody to ride on the front or on the gunwale or, do things that you normally wouldn't do. You're not thinking properly when you're under the influence, and then your abilities are impaired, not being able to operate the boat the way it should be to keep it in safe operation.
Along with that, what is the law on boating under the influence?
Everybody can consume alcohol. Of course, you have to be 21 years of age or older.
Okay.
The operator cannot be impaired. Our BUI law says that your faculties cannot be materially or appreciably impaired. And what that basically means is if we pull up and we suspect the operator of being under the influence, we put a life jacket on him, we pull him over in our boat, and we go through a field sobriety test. It's called an afloat battery test.
Okay.
And what we do is we check the eyes just like a highway patrolman would check. We do different physical movements and stuff that will detect if you're under the influence. And then if you fail that test, then we take you to jail and put you on the breathalyzer.
And I guess during these holiday weekends, you'll have more of that than normal, correct?
Yeah, I mean, just simply because you have more people out on the water. And, that's when people like to relax and have a good time and consume alcohol. But, yeah, definitely on the weekends, we see more people under the influence operating boats.
You know, you have a designated driver in a group they like to have. And I saw an interesting little caption says designated assistant skipper.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about what a designated skipper should be able to do.
Just like anytime you go out, it's a good idea to have a float plan. Have a plan before you get out there on the water. If you have somebody that's been through a boat safety course or knows how to operate a boat, it's a good idea to have a backup in case something happens to you. If you're the operator and you get sick or, some medical issue arises, you'll have that skipper there on board that can operate the boat, get you safely back to shore.
That's a good thing to have, because I tell you, there's nothing probably more scary to somebody who's not familiar with a boat than to
That's
be
right.
out there and not know how to get back to the ramp.
Right.
Now, while you're out on patrol, what are you looking for?
The first thing we look up, when we approach a boat, we notice the boat registration. If you don't have the proper registration, you can get fined for that. It either has to be registered through the state that the boat's going to be in, or it has to be documented with the U.S. Coast Guard. The motors, 5 horsepower or greater, have to have a motor title decal displayed. And then we start going through your safety check. We ask the operator to go through the whole safety spiel about, getting out a life jacket for everybody on board, making sure those life jackets fit the passengers.
Okay.
Making sure children, if the boat's less than 16 feet, every child under 12 has to have a life jacket on. Then if the boat's 16 feet or longer, they have to have a throwable device, a seat cushion or a ring buoy that's approved by the Coast Guard. If you have a permanently installed fuel tank, you have to have a Type B fire extinguisher, and then your sound-producing device, a horn or a whistle. So that's pretty much the whole spiel, besides at nighttime where you get into looking for, making sure they have their navigation lights on.
Right. And one important thing to check, do we still have a regulation of having to have flares on board?
No, that's just on federal waters.
Okay.
Out on the coast.
Which is why I have to have them on my boat.
Right.
One important thing that people ought to check is make sure the expiration on those extinguishers and flares are in season.
Yeah, most of your fire extinguishers either have a safety pin well, of course, all of them have a safety pin, but they have a gauge on them that reads either in the green, meaning you're good and it's charged, or it's in the red, meaning it's not charged and you need to buy another one. And some other fire extinguisher types have a push button. You push it in. If it pops back up, it's good. It's still charged.
Well, you being the expert and the enforcement officer out there, what are some good tips for just general boating safety out there over the holiday weekends or anytime you're on the water?
Just making sure before you leave you have a float plan, that people know where you're going, what time you're going to be back. It's always good to have a cell phone on you. Check the weather before you go out. Make sure you have all your safety equipment. Make sure you have life jackets for children if they're going to be on board. And just operate in a safe manner. We see a lot of boaters and jet skis operating in a negligent manner, either riding too close to another boat or jumping the wake of another boat too close, allowing passengers to ride on board where they shouldn't be, where they could fall off and get injured. We see a lot of mistakes made that way.
You mentioned personal watercraft. They fall under the same regulations as boating?
Pretty much. I mean, you got to have a life jacket on. And the only thing on a personal watercraft, you have to have that lanyard, and it has to be attached to yourself. That way, if you fall off, it cuts the engine, which most boats have, even larger boats.
Right.
Have the cutoff switch. That way, if you fall off, it doesn't circle and end up hitting you.
And a lot of people look at that as an impediment to having a good time, but I tell you, it only takes once when you don't have that kill switch engaged, mm-hmm. and you roll off that boat, and that boat starts coming around.
Yeah.
I had that happen once, and it's a scary proposition.
We call that the death circle, and what it does is it just starts circling around you, and eventually, if you can't swim out of that circle, the boat hits you and the prop gets you. So it's a very good idea to have that safety device on when you're out there on the water.
And such a simple thing, too.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
We don't hope nobody has one, but if somebody has an emergency out on the water, whether it's up here in the upstate, Midlands, coast, how do they get a hold of DNR or some other law enforcement officer that could be out on the water?
We monitor Coast Guard Channel 16 while we're out there on the lake. They can call our dispatch at 1-800-922-5431. Or, of course, you can call 911 anytime you have an emergency.
Well, Jeff, I appreciate you coming on today. Any last words you want to get out there?
No, just everybody have a good time out there and be safe. Make sure you have all your safety equipment.
I appreciate you coming on, sharing with us. Be safe out there, and maybe I'll see you around Lake Hartwell someday.
Okay, sounds good. You have a good day, too.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. A few rain showers out there today. Looks like it might be cooling off a little bit. It's a good thing. You can thank me for, you know, the 80-degree temperatures. I tried to pack as much Canadian air into my suitcase coming back as I could, and obviously I brought back enough. That was the other thing. The first thing we looked at was 99 degrees or 105 with a heat index, and you're like, yeah, I feel kind of bad about being up here, but not too bad. It got you, though, when you stepped off the plane in Greenville. Oh, the humidity got you. But anyway, it was good to get home. Good information last segment about boating safety. If you go to the Woods and Water South Carolina Facebook page right now, there's a video there. It's it's pretty funny.
Oh, my goodness.
it's a funny one about when you get to the ramp. It's important when you... especially in the holidays and our weekends, especially. I don't go to boat ramp on weekends if I can help it. But being able to back your boat in, what you're allowed to do, what you need to not do while you're on the ramp, it's a pretty funny video. You can check it out and look at it. And I suggest if you've got a boat, go practice in the parking lot of Walmart before you ever take it to a ramp. When you can back that thing, you know, double parking spaces without going over both yellow lines, you're probably good. Because you never know what's going to happen. I mean, at the Bassmaster Classic, Andy Montgomery said, "Do you want the boat or the car?" And I'm like, huh? What? He said, "Do you want the boat or the car?" And he meant, "Do you want to drive the boat or do you want to drive the car?" So here I am at the Bassmaster Classic saying, "Please, God, don't let me jackknife Andy Montgomery's truck and trailer on the ramp in front of the television cameras." So you just never know when that experience is going to come in handy. Jeff mentioned the boating inspector. The free courtesy boating inspections for July 4th holiday. They're spread all over July 4th, 3rd, 4th, and 5th. places like Alex Harvin on Lake Marion, Billy Dreer on Lake Murray, Dorn on Lake Thurman, Gallivant's Ferry, Lake Murray Dam, River Forks, Lake Hartwell, South Cove Park, Lake Kiwi, 12 Mile on Lake Hartwell, Sandpit River at Carroll Campbell Landing, Isle of Palms, Johnny Causey Landing, Lake Watery, Wapoo Cut. They're being held all over the state. And like I said, it's just it's a way for them to say, yeah, this you're good, or no, you need to do this, without getting a ticket. Media alert. We had representatives from Ducks Unlimited on the show last fall talking about this. The duck stamp went from $15 to $25 this year. And the first one was sold yesterday. They had a big media event at the Pyramids at Bass Pro Shop, the Pyramids up in Memphis, Tennessee. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service people there, Bass Pro Shops, CEO of Ducks Unlimited, Jennifer Miller, the duck stamp artist for 2015-16, and they sold the first one. You can now buy your federal duck stamp, and you can. One of the provisions of that bill was that you could buy it online. So now you can buy your duck stamp online. It officially sold at 10 a.m. on the 26th. So, and I said last fall, if somebody could not afford the extra $10, to let me know. So if you're a young hunter out there, duck hunter, who doesn't have an extra $10, and I mean you can't find it, you can't go cut a lawn or something like that to get it, you contact me when duck season comes around. I'll buy you a duck stamp for you. I believe that is one license I believe in 100%, because I know that money goes to conservation. And in the same vein of conservation, a new story from Delta Waterfowl. This is actually from May the 20th. It tells you how far behind on news I am, but you just can't get through everything you want to every show. From May the 19th, late last week, fears of mediocre to poor duck production loomed over the Dakotas, where ongoing warmth and a lack of precipitation were rapidly eroding wetlands. It comes back to say, but conditions can change quickly in the prairie pothole region, and over the weekend, a major storm drenched the Dakotas and the Canadian prairie's southern edge. Some areas received 4 to 6 inches of water in the form of rain, snow, and sleet. And that has really done wonders for the duck breeding areas up through there. And then when you get up in there and you see those potholes everywhere, you understand what they're talking about when they say prairie pothole region. The Dakotas, they went from below average to slightly above average in 48 hours. Manitoba's wetlands, drier than recent years. But they are above average. Alberta, among the best in the prairie pothole region this spring. Saskatchewan, average, which is, you know, still they're in good shape after a super wet 2014. So it looks like ducks are going to be pretty plentiful, or at least on average this year, which is good news. During the news at the beginning of the show, you heard a little story about selfie sticks. I have a selfie article here. I don't know why I have this. It's just one of those things you look at and you're like, oh, that's kind of cool, but it will laugh a little bit. 13 reasons you need to stop taking so many selfies. Ready? Real quickly. No one cares. I know it's hard to believe, but it's true. You may be beautiful, but there's literally no one in the world that needs to see pictures of your face from 12 different angles. No one. Number two, you will lose followers. Unless you're taking selfies and constantly changing locations on an elevator 1 minute next to a tiger the next, then your face is not enough to keep people interested. And let's be honest, you're in your bedroom. The filters are a lie. You may have figured out that your skin looks flawless every time if you use Valencia, but you can't filter yourself in real life. Using the filters is the equivalent of magazines photoshopping pictures until they don't even look human anymore. What's the point? Number four, you did not hashtag wake up like that. Number five, the number of likes you get should not be directly correlated to your self-worth. What happens when you put a selfie, you spent 20 minutes getting perfect, and then no one seems to notice? If you actually consider deleting pictures that don't get enough attention, you need to check your priorities. Number six, you're missing out on worthy photo ops because you're too busy striking your best pose. Seriously, your giant mug is blocking the sunset. Get out of the frame. Number seven, they make you seem self-absorbed. Loving yourself is awesome and necessary, but if you think people care about the subtle differences between your Monday makeup and Wednesday makeup, you're delusional. Eight, everyone can see through your humble bragging. adding hashtags like all natural, ugly, and no makeup are your not so subtle ways of fishing for compliments. I hate to break it to you, but you're about as stealthy as a bull in a china shop. 9, your duck face is going to get you mocked. Do you really want to see yourself in a slideshow of the most ridiculous selfies? Is that what you're going to take to get through to you? Don't let it come to that. You'll regret it. You should be watching the road. That's always a favorite of mine. I'm sure you took that selfie while you were parked or at a red light. Of course, but honestly, don't you remember somewhere to be? Is that not why you're in the car? We all know you took 20 awful ones before the one you posted. You're not fooling anyone. Number 12, you should be embarrassed if you do this in public. I won't read that one. And number 13, I won't read that one either. Anyway, that's just funny. That was in the news, selfies. July the 16th, Department of Natural Resources is offering a youth shooting clinic at Rocky Creek Sporting Clays. 8:30 to 1 p.m. York County participants with wing shooting skill levels from beginner to advanced. Learn how to safely handle and shoot a shotgun. The clinic will introduce all the basic wing shooting skills needed for a successful bird hunt. Birds being doves, which open September. So you can go to the DNR website and find out more about that. DNR also needs volunteers to participate in the summer turkey survey. Annually since 1982, the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources conducts a summer turkey survey to estimate reproduction and recruitment of wild turkeys in South Carolina. According to Charles Ruth, summer turkey survey is designed to monitor annual nesting success of hens and survivability of their young, which was the greatest influence on wild turkey population dynamics. If you're interested in participating in the annual survey, including instructions and recording forms, can be found at the DNR website. And with that, I have to go over here and figure out what Chuck we're going to say for today. The last thing, this is, and I've been reading these a couple of times, this is from Dr. Scott Simpson, who wrote a book, How to Raise a Wild Child. And one of his tips for parents is become a hummingbird parent. Instead of helicopter parenting, work on developing your flight skills as a hummingbird parent. This means giving kids space and autonomy to take risks, staying on the periphery, sipping nectar most of the time, and zooming in only when necessary. Pretty good advice. Let's see. Chuck Norris for this week. Chuck Norris once made a snowman out of rain. Oh, me. And with that, another week's show is over. I hope everyone has a wonderful and safe 4th of July. Get out there, wear your red, white, and blue. As always, be safe when you get out there. Gotta love those back roads this time of the year. Roll the windows down. Smell people cutting hay. Smell the nearest dairy farm. It's appetizing after a while. And like always, do not forget that camera. I took 1,200 pictures in Quebec. Now it's just got to go through and figure out which ones are the best. Thanks, Taylor, for coming on.
You're welcome.
See you next week.